This interview is being done by Aaron Enzor, and I am interviewing Ms. Glenna Huddleston. This is 203 Macon Drive Southeast in Jacksonville, Alabama, on November the 2nd, 1994. What I'd like you to start with is tell me a little bit about before you got your first job. Just tell me when it occurred and what happened prior to that.
Well, you have to remember that I came from a rather large family, and we were work-oriented. Most people my age were, you know. I mean, the jobs were important because money was important. I was born during the Depression. And things, you know, financially didn't really start getting better until World War II. And so I didn't know I was poor, but I was poor when I was a child in the 30s. And so, of course, you know, the very beginning, I was much too young. I did babysitting. You know, well, I soon knew that I didn't want to be a babysitter. I didn't care for that at all. And then about the time World War II came along, all the jobs became so plentiful that the need was so great that they just really were hiring children. And so I lived in a small town, and my first job, I was 13 years old, and I worked in a soda fountain at a little restaurant on the corner where that was, you know, quite a hangout for people, kids, and everything. And it was really an education. And
What town was that?
That was in Winamac, Indiana.
Could you spell that for me?
W-I-N-A-M-A-C. It's about 80 miles south of Chicago. But I had no idea in those days that Chicago was even there. It was a little farming community.
I bet.
But anyway, so that was my beginning. And then during high school, see, it still prevailed that there was so much work available. People that were 18 and beyond were all working in defense plants. So the teenagers at home really had to do the cashiering and the grocery stores and all of the jobs that people would have wanted, you know, in previous times. Housewives went to work, you know. And so I had a real variety of jobs during my younger years, working, like I said, in the restaurant. We would work before school in the morning and after school in the evening. And there was a back table booth where we kept our homework. And we do our homework together there in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much the way it was in high school. And then in the last year, during the summer, I worked in a sewing factory. I had grown up enough that I could work in more of adult. And the war was well in then, you know. And that was really a fun and a great experience. So when I get down here around where the mills are and everything, I don't know how those people, I really understood it. It was, all those things were such, they had such an impact on me. And then in my final year of school, while I started cashiering in a grocery store, and I did their books for them, which were very simple, and just remained in that job until I got married in 1946. And then I quit my job because I was getting married. And after we came back from a sort of a honeymoon, I knew that I had to find a job. And then things were beginning to tighten up a little bit because all these men had come home. Mm-hmm. And but I was fortunate being in a small town, and I had a good reputation, good work reputation, you know. And so I didn't even have to ask for a job. The local manager of a Schultz Brothers dime store, like an old Woolworth store, met me on the street corner and said, "Oh, Glenna, will you come to work for me?" And I said, "Ah, wonderful." So I went to work for him, and that was really interesting because then Warren started to college. And he was commuting to school, and I was working in the dime store. And one day the area manager was in the store, and he was talking to me, and he, you know, was real surprised that I was not in school and that I was working. And I said, "Well, I was married, and my husband was in school." And so the conversation just developed around what Warren was taking. And And he had an instant job with Schultz Brothers. So the minute he retired, graduated from school, he came to work for them in store management and remained with them for 40 years. And so I worked with him in the store until 1950 when we had our first child. And then I stayed home like all mothers of that era. And I was a full-time housewife and mother. And did a lot of volunteering. And just, we were always in small towns. We started moving, and we were in Indiana and Illinois and Iowa and Wisconsin. So we moved a lot. But when our son was about, I guess he was in the eighth grade, this would be interesting to you because it's really kind of a Christian. Well, it isn't kind of. It's a true Christian testimony. Hmm. I had started feeling that I was so privileged and I really wasn't giving back anything. I really felt that I wasn't giving back anything. And I'd had such a good life. And one day I was ironing, and I never will forget it. And I just said out loud, "Oh, Lord, please show me the way to something." Here I was now, an adult with child who was soon going to be in high school, and I had no career. Of course, women really weren't working then, but I was of the makeup that I always wanted to work, you know. And if you weren't a teacher or a nurse, there really were not jobs for, quote, privileged individuals, you know. Mm-hmm. So almost before I left, well, I know it was before I left that ironing board, the hospital administrator of our local hospital had called, and I had been volunteering there as a Red Cross volunteer. And they had just built a 250-bed nursing home wing onto the hospital. And he said, "Glenna, we would like to have you be the activities director in our new nursing home." And I, I couldn't even imagine. By golly, I said, "Well, I have no education. You know, I'd only gone to high school." And he said, "Doesn't matter. If you will come out here right now," he said, "I have a woman from the State Board of Health that will talk you into this." So I went out there, and it was just a lovely lady. And this is hard for you to understand, but in those days, there were 9 registered occupational therapists in the state of Wisconsin. So she was a licensed occupational therapist, and she said if I would take the job as occupational therapist at that hospital, she would come twice a month and orient my program. So how could I turn that down, you know? And I could set my own hours because I still had a son at home, you know. And they gave me an office and secretary, and I went to work. And she came twice a month and stayed with me just 2 days, you know, and oriented the program and taught me everything that I could possibly think of. It was just so amazing. And so then, any questions? I keep going on and on.
What? So when you got into the nursing home, that would have been about the early 60s?
Yes, it would have. It would have. I think it was, I'm not certain of the day. I think it was like 1964. I'm pretty sure that it was 1964 that I started.
And when you got your first job after you were married, was that right after you got married in 1946?
That was. And, well, anyway, then, you see, in the traditional 40s marriage that I've been in for 48 years, I don't believe that for young people, but that the man is the head of the house. So when Warren would get a transfer or a promotion, I would just quit and go with him. Of course, there was no question. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it was really nice. It was really privileged because I always had this assurance of being well cared for, And yet I didn't have to really worry about a job, you know. So it was nice. And usually about the time he'd need a transfer, I was maybe beginning to get a little stressed out in my job anyway. So it was special. Well, we left and went to Indiana, back to Indiana where we had been from. And he had a very nice promotion. And our son then was a sophomore in high school. And so I didn't work for a while. And I became entrenched in activities at church and in social activities in the little small community we were in. Well, I still wanted to go back to work really bad, and I was always, quite frankly, was always bored with women that were bored. And I really was. And I was in with a group of women that were bored. They should have all been working, you know, but they weren't. And it just wasn't the time of life that lots of people were working. In fact, when I first started working, people would say, oh, you mean you're working? You know, like, oh, you mean you're working? And one of the first things that happened to me when I started working was someone called from PTA or something and wanted me to do something for the school. And I said, well, yes, I'll be happy to, but I'm working. I wonder if I could do that at such and such. And they said, oh, you're working? We didn't mean to call working mothers. Can you believe that? It's true. They didn't mean to call working mothers. So that put me in another class. Well, one day I was reading the paper and I saw that a local furniture store had an ad for a young man willing to learn. And I thought, aha, in advertising. And art was always my favorite anything. Through the years, I had always been taking art through, actually in Wisconsin, it was through Wisconsin University Extension. And I had taken many art courses, so that really appealed to me to work in advertising with display artwork. So I went in and said, would you be willing to take an old woman willing to learn? I was only in my late 30s, but I thought I was old. And they were so shocked that a woman would apply for that job, you know. So I think they took me just simply because they were shocked, you know. They'd never had a man in the job. And this particular man owned two large furniture stores, and he had for two stores, it was a very well-planned and a sophisticated advertising department. In the fact that we did a daily ad in a newspaper, a full-page daily ad, and we put out a tabloid. I forget what they're called now. But anyway, we put out a flyer. Mm. We had a 40,000 mailing flyer that we put out once a month, so that was pretty big stuff for two furniture stores, you know.
Yeah.
And so they had a young man that helped me learn, which it was a very simple job, actually. And they gave me a little office, and I got to know, all the women that worked in the main office. And after I had known them for a while, I made quite a lot more money than they did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why didn't you apply for this job? And they said, well, it was a man's job. I never dreamed that a woman would take it. You know? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And all I did was, work with mats and write copy which is, in advertising, is pretty much copying somebody else's. That's really all it was. It was just copying. And so I did that for 3 or 4 years. Or maybe a little less, and then Warren was transferred again, and so I gave up my job. And then he had moved into an executive position with the company, into the Chicago main office, So we moved into suburbia, and that was a whole new life for me because I had lived in small towns, and it was really kind of frightening. I thought it was going to be like a small town because we were so far out, but actually it was just pure suburban living, and quickly learned that they're called bedroom towns. That people just live there and go into the city to work, you know. So I was there again. I really didn't know what to do. And would you believe I saw another ad, young man willing to learn. And this was for the local newspaper. And it was owned by the Waukegan News Sun. It was called the Independent Register. And, of course, I went down to see them with all of the flyers, copies of things that I had produced for the furniture store, and naturally they considered me well qualified with that.